Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today.
I draw into him, he draws into me, and there's this like intimate exchange. There's intimate chase with the Lord. It's a beautiful longing where it's almost like two lovesick lovers are playing and running and going closer to one another. It's not a game, but it's beautiful. And so in this place, when you enter into this place, it's being seated with him in heavenly places. It's seeking him. It's longing for him.
But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to our Christina Pereira Ministry sponsors who help support the mission to unite the body of Christ and fulfill the Great Commission with love. A big shout out to Gopher Ministries, who provides all of our equipment for our gospel events. Davis Financial Services, who does all of our financial accounting. Harvest Family Network, through which I am licensed and ordained. And Life Changing Productions, who helps put together evangelistic events to reach our city for Jesus. If you or your organization are interested in becoming a CPM sponsor, you can find out more information on our website at christinapereira.org. Do you have a loved one special occasion coming up and don't know what to get them? Well, now you can sponsor an episode of Revealing Jesus in their name. And you can give them a special dedication message read on air. It makes a great gift. To find out more information, just go to christinapereira.org/podcast. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I hope and I pray that you are doing well right where you are and enjoying the continuously flowing favor of grace pouring from our beautiful Savior and Father in heaven. I've got a great show for you today. I have an amazing leader in the body of Christ with me today, and she is a friend of mine. So sweet. She is the founder of Frontline Fire Ministries. She's an international speaker and the author of the new book, Wordless Prayer, How God Hears and Answers Your Groans and Tears. I have with me here today, Tammy Sutherland. Tammy, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here and just excited to see what God's going to do.
Yes, me too. Well, she is a fellow sister of mine in the Harvest Family Network, and she is so full of fire. And I just love that about you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Well, since this Revealing Jesus, it's been a long time since you've been on here. So why don't you share a little bit about how you met our beautiful Savior Jesus?
Oh, so my testimony has lots of amazing twists and turns. I grew up in church, obviously. You can hear the thick Southern accent, the Bible Belt, you know, what you do, you go to church. And so I grew up Methodist, but I always had a fascination. I remember looking at a flag, the Christian flag in the corner of the room in this little teeny tiny Methodist church that I grew up in. It had the flame of fire on the flag. And I remember looking at the flag and like, why is there fire on the cross that I didn't understand? Like, I'm like, what is that fire? And I wanted to understand what's the fire. And so as far back as I could remember, like I just had a natural dialogue with the Lord and a sensitivity, you know, just to be inquisitive about who he is and trying to understand these different aspects that weren't actually taught when in a 30-minute church service, which is what we experienced in a little tiny Methodist church growing up in the South. So I actually really encountered the Lord in middle school whenever I went to a youth camp. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I went with one of my friends who was, what was she? Church of God of Prophecy. Church of God of Prophecy. So little Methodist girl goes to a Church of God of Prophecy youth camp, has no idea what to expect. And I was literally sitting in the back of the room, playing little games, you know, on the pad. We would draw and we would play these little games on the pad of paper, waiting on the church service to be over. And they started worshiping and they started singing. And I remember what they were singing. They were singing, "What a Mighty God We Serve." And they just started clapping. They started singing. I felt the power of God fall in the room. No idea what was going on, but I was just compelled to literally run to the front. And so I ran to the front. They were doing like prophecy over people. Never experienced prophecy. Never experienced any of these things. And they laid their hands on me and I hit the floor. And so that was my first encounter with the Lord. The first time I'd ever encountered, you know, encountered prophecy in that type of atmosphere. And so I tell people, like, God marked me at that youth camp. Of course, growing up Methodist, my parents were like, "That's weird. You know, you're not going back there." When I started telling the stories, they were like, not quite sure if that was Jesus or not. And so I tell it like this, like I really didn't have discipleship in the things of the Spirit. So the things of the Spirit were awakened in me. Dialogue with God was awakened and confirmed in me. But because of my small town, small church background, and really didn't have the discipleship in the things of the Spirit. And so by the time I was a senior in high school, I was in a relationship and I've just kind of drifted from that, you know, intimacy with the Lord and trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong and really looking at it from a legalistic standpoint. And so by the time I was in college, you know, I made some mistakes. I started getting involved with a sorority and a fraternity and ended up going to a party. And at that party, people were getting drunk and doing drugs and things like that. And they were trying to pull me in. And I'm skipping a lot of details, but I ended up getting drugged and getting date raped. I got raped. I was not on a date, but I got raped. And I tell people that way. And so that experience turned in probably to one of the worst experiences of my entire life. It was a fraternity, a sorority situation where I was actually being hazed and it was, the rape was attempted to be covered up. It became a really, really ugly situation for about 6 to 8 months where I was threatened continuously and told if I said anything else about it, they were going to make my life a living hell. And they did. They did a good job of that. And so all that being said, like that experience drove me to probably do more, to walk in more sin than I ever had in my life, because I was honestly wanted to die. I didn't want to live. And I wanted, you know, just didn't want to live anymore until I found myself going out partying and all night, drinking all night, being out and literally hit a rock bottom place. I'd say my true experience with the Lord came full circle where I fully surrendered to Him one night when my younger brother, who was a very good guy, he was a good old Southern boy, and he comes out and he comes into the bar and he looks at me and I tell people this is not the way you, like, I don't agree with his method of evangelism, but it worked for me. But he started doing shots. He started drinking. And, like, he was like, every time I would drink, he would drink. And he was like, "Okay, you want to do this? Let's go." You know, I was like, "What are you doing? Like, this is stupid." And he was like, "Exactly. This is stupid. What are you doing with your life?" And I told him, I was like, "You don't know what I've been through. You don't understand the reality of it." And he was like, "Basically, of course, because you don't talk to anybody. You cut everybody out of your life." And I was, had cut my family out of my life and everything. I was just like hopeless. And he invited me to a youth camp. At that point, I'm too old to go to a youth camp. But he invited me to come the next morning with him. And we stayed out all night that night. And this is just the goodness of the Lord. Like, He's in the midst of that dark place with me. And I ended up 5 a.m. deciding, like, hungover, drinking all night. I mean, feeling terrible. You know what? I'm going to go. You know, my brother was with me out all night. He did the same thing I did. I'll go, whatever. And so I end up going, and they had been interceding for me. They had been praying for me. And I go to this youth retreat, and I'm sitting back off at the edge of the room. And the couple that was sharing their testimony, all I remember hearing them say is that they had smoked weed. And in their past, like, I literally remember that, only that. And I looked at them and I thought, wow, God can forgive them. He can forgive me. Like, He can look at the family that they have, because they had a beautiful family.
And that was my dream. Like, I just wanted a family. And I just, you know, I felt like all that had been stolen from me. And I looked at my brother sitting next to me, and I heard the voice of the Lord, like, almost audibly. He said, I sent him into the darkness to pull you out. That's what love looks like. And by the way, I believe you. And I was there, referring to the rape. And the power of God filling me so strong that I just hit my knees and I just began to weep. And this is a Baptist youth retreat. It's not familiar with the power of the Spirit coming in or anything like that. I began to weep and I just began to groan. No idea what it was, except for I was forgiven. And I knew that my slate was wiped clean. And I knew that he loved me. And I looked at my younger brother as like, this is what Jesus did. Jesus went into the darkness to pull us out. And from that point, I was done. Like, I was like, God has set me free. He's wiped my slate clean. Like, he's filled me with his Spirit. I don't ever want to go back. Like, he literally, like, the scripture that hit me so hard in that season was, behold, I make all things new. Like, he literally made me a new creation, and I didn't ever want to go back. And I just started preaching the gospel to anything that moved. You know, it was just like at that point. And I tell people that's where the fire of God filled me again. And he restored the year that the enemy had stolen. And I was all in. As a matter of fact, my brother fully gave his life over to the Lord the same night. And many of the other students in the room began to feel the power and the presence of God following them. And they began to weep. It was like revival hit. And you know, so that's the beginning of, I'd say that's the beginning of my story. That was, I don't know, I was 19 years old, 20 years old. So a very, very long time ago at this point, and still hanging on to, you know, that beauty of the presence of God that I experienced in that first part of my new birth, I guess, in the Lord. And like, there's nothing like that. I want to burn. I want to be on fire. I want to never forget that moment and carry that in every aspect of my life now.
I love that so much. Wow. Isn't that the truth, that he comes into those dark places and he never leaves us? It's just incredible. I am so thankful for who Jesus is. You know, I think sometimes Christians have a fear of going into those dark places, but if we want to truly be like Jesus, we can step in there with him and help pull others out, because that's where other people are. You know, if we don't step into those places, how can we pull them out?
Right.
I mean, can you imagine if the Holy Son of God said, man, that earth's too dark, I ain't stepping down in there. Can you imagine?
Right. Right. Huh.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I've loved reading through your book, Wordless Prayer, but as I told you when we first started, it's so much more than Wordless Prayer. Like, I don't even know how to title this thing. But it was really good. And, you know, there was something that you shared in there. You shared an experience that you had where Jesus came and he imparted wisdom and revelation and knowledge about this, the groanings, the deep things of the Spirit. I want you to share that real quick with our listeners.
Are you talking about the first part of the book where, yeah. So there's several encounters in there. I remember which encounter you're talking about. So the beginning part for me was, you know, where I began to really unpack what the Lord was inviting me into. There were two encounters, just to be sure I cover whichever one you're asking me about. They are really three. But I was in Israel initially, and I began to encounter the Lord in Israel. The first real moment where I began to be invited into what I call a more, this unspoken reality of the more of God that would cost me everything, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord actually encountered me. We had been in the garden for 45 minutes and I'd felt absolutely nothing. So frustrated. I was in there for an encounter and I'm like, I can't feel you. I don't know where you are. Like, come on, Jesus, let's do this. We're in the garden. Like, what's going on? It was like total stillness, you know? And if you know me, I'm just like, almost like a presence junkie. I'm just like, bring it on. Like, the time's running out. And within that last 15 minutes, like, I heard him say, Tammy, do you want more? And so in that, he was inviting me really into his suffering. He was inviting me into the gap in between what is, you know, what we experience and what is promised in the scriptures. And then you read the book, you'll see the several other encounters that I had in Israel. And then the next encounter within about several months later, I woke up in the middle of the night and the Lord hit me like a lightning bolt. And he said one word to me audibly, and he said, unspoken. And I was like, what does this mean? But I knew that it connected with the grown spirit that I had experienced in Israel. Now, I've been an intercessor, you know, been in the Romans 8 reality of groaning in the spirit for many, many years. But there was something more that he was unpacking in this. I began to realize that I get up at 3 a.m. and begin to pray into this and begin to realize the next day that there was a young man named John Allen Cho, 26 years old, and he was martyred on an island in India as he went out to reach a Sentinese tribe who had never heard the gospel. And so I began to ask the Lord, what does this martyred 26-year-old, the striking of the groan, and the invitation into more in Israel and in this Romans 8 reality, what does this, how does this connect? What do they have to do with one another? And the Lord began to show me that within Romans 8, if there's more than wordless prayer or tears or groans of the spirit that's taking place, there's actually a travail or birth pains within all, the whole earth. Where the whole earth is groaning, the whole earth is elongating, where it says for the manifestation or the unveiling of the sons of God. And so he began to unpack to me, not just, you know, prayer in tongues or even meditation in the spirit or hearing in the spirit and praying what he's praying, but he began to unpack to me what happens within you when you enter into the groan of the spirit, when you begin to yield to that place of not knowing what to pray and allowing him to begin to embody intercession, you begin to allow intercession to have you instead of you just to have it, you actually begin to experience a spiritual formation where you are becoming the sons of God, the daughters of God, that the earth itself is in groaning or longing for the manifestation of. And so within these encounters, I began to just really go after the Lord. Like, I want to understand this. Like, give me the words to express the word list. Only I would ask for that, right? The Bible says there are no words for this. So Tammy Sutherland says, give me words. You know, I got to have language because there's so many people out there that they experience. Maybe you haven't. A lot others have experienced this intercession, this groaning, this travail kind of prayer. But they don't like, what is this? What is it for? Is it, please tell me it's unto something. This is frustrating, right? And so I began to ask him, what is this unto? What is this doing within?
That's so good. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it's sometimes there just aren't words for things. It's interesting as you were sharing that creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Because creation has been subjected to sin and futility, right, to death and to those things. You see, even creation, it wasn't created to decay. Things weren't created to die. And because when sin entered the world, it set all of those things in motion, not just for us, but for all of creation. And, you know, but thanks be to God, Jesus, through the last Adam. Yes. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus and we become a new creation in Christ, the sons and daughters of God, through him, the last Adam, you know, we begin to groan along with creation. And, yes, you know, science is coming out with these amazing frequencies. Everything gives off a frequency of life. And it's amazing. You can just Google it. You can find stuff on YouTube or on social media and stuff like that. But different plants, different things have different vibrations and different things. And we all speak and we all testify to the glory of God. And so it makes sense to me that his sons and daughters are groaning along with creation. And I know in my life, there's some things, some desires that the Lord's put in my heart that are just so deep, so interwoven into my being that there aren't words. And I'm so thankful, you know, that we have the Holy Spirit who can speak through us and express these things in groans that cannot be understood. I want to share this dream real quick, because as I was reading your book, the Lord reminded me of this dream. I believe right now that we're coming into a season where we're going to see the manifestation of the groans and the things that we've been longing for. You know, I know I have things I've been longing for to see in ministry and to see in the world and see in the body of Christ. But I was in this dream back in August, and this angel came to me in a dream. And there was a man sitting right beside me, and I don't know who he was, but he was on the floor and he was in groaning and travail prayer. And this angel was granting to him the things that he was desiring to see in the world. And I want to add, these are not selfish things. These are like, you know, we want to see people healed. We want to see people delivered. We want to see supernatural manifestations of the glory so that Jesus can be revealed and so that, you know, the church can rise up in power. These aren't selfish things. And then this angel, she came to me, and it was interesting to me. She called me by a name and a title. And the weird thing was, I answered her as if it was my name, but it was not my name. I was like, okay. And she goes, what do you want? And I told her, and I heard the Father say, you've answered correctly. And so I believe right now God is answering those groans, Tammy, because like I said, these aren't selfish things. These are for the body of Christ to come up higher. These are for people to be saved, people's eternal destinations to be changed. You know, I say this all the time on Revealing Jesus. We don't have time to play church anymore. We just don't. Right before I was spending some time with the Lord, before I was reading your book, the Lord took me to Joel and he underlined, the day of the Lord is at hand. It's coming. It's coming. And so we have this opportunity right now to partner with heaven. So can you tell our listeners how they can partner with the Holy Spirit to get a hold of these unselfish groans that creation has been crying out for, as well as the sons and daughters of God?
So it's interesting you say that, unselfish, because the more near you draw to him, more near he draws to you, right? I draw into him, he draws into me, and there's this like intimate exchange. There's intimate chase with the Lord. It's a beautiful longing where it's almost like two lovesick lovers are playing and running and going closer to one another. It's not a game, but it's beautiful. And so in this place, when you enter into this place, it's being seated with him in heavenly places. It's seeking him. It's longing for him. It's like, what do you want? It's like you said, it's interesting. I had a similar dream where someone comes to me in the dream and says, Tammy, what do you want? You know, and the Lord asked me the same question in Israel at Magdala, you know, a whole encounter there. And he was like, what do you want? And it's like, what it is, it's like, as you begin to draw more near to him and begin to lean into this groan of the Spirit, this longing of the Spirit, it says in Revelation that the Spirit and the bride say, come. So there's an agreement that happens. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeking first without even realizing it. You know, the more deeply in love you fall, you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it said, blessed are the hungry, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so as we draw near to him, we begin to lay down our wants, our desires, and we take up his. And it's not like this striving where you're like, oh, I just want to lay down like my desire for, you know, whatever, like $1 million. That's not what you're doing. You're not like, oh, I got to try to like lay it all down. It's like, I'm in love with you. And I know that whatever you have is so much better than what I could ever long for, or I could ever desire. So show me, what is it, Lord? What do you long for me to long for? Like, what is in your, you know, what's in your pocket that I don't have? And so when you begin to ask me, what do I want? My response is, I want you. My response is like, what do you want me to want? And it's not this defeated place. And so when you begin to engage with the Holy Spirit in prayer, when you begin to engage in the heavenly realm in intercession, what you're actually doing is sitting in the counsel of God and you're listening. And your heart, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions begin to align with the Spirit. And you begin to desire the treasures that are not of the earth. You begin to desire the greater things, like Mary of Bethany. She desired what she desired from Jesus was different from Martha. And he said, what she's chosen can't be taken away from her. It can't be cut off from her. She's chosen the good part. What did she choose? She chose him. And so the more we draw close to him, the more he begins to transform our heart and our desires to when we're pressed, like your dream, my dream, when we're pressed, what comes out is the right answer. But what it really is the longing of our heart. We want you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want what you want. Jesus, I want to be your hands and your feet. I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you hear. I want to move in the power of your spirit, not because of me, but because the sick need to be healed and the dead need to be raised because you love them. And it's not okay for the earth to be stuck in decay because it says in your word that it's a curse and the curses aren't from you. And so you begin to get fashioned like pottery on a wheel, not in this beating process, but just in this pressing into him. And you actually find yourself being formed, you know, into what you were created to be. You were created to be like him. You were created to be in his image and in his likeness. You were created to rule and reign in the earth. And you don't even know that until you fall in love. You don't even know or understand. And we might want power. We might want authority. But we really don't know how to function in his heart outside of that place of, you know, being in love with him. And so these places of wordlessness, that which we have no earthly language, there's heavenly language. That place of this earthly earth has no language for, we get to press into the language of heaven and saying, man, I want to understand your language. I want you to talk to me the way you speak. And I lay down how I speak. And man, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful what happens in you. And then it begins to happen through you. And man, there's just so much.
You are part of a great company of women who are called and empowered by God. It is time to inherit audacious boldness from Women of the Bible. I've got a great resource for you. Prophetic leader, author, and president of Kim Moss Ministries and Women of Our Time, Kim Moss. Her new book, Finding Our Muchness, provides a fresh look at women in the Bible who advance the kingdom to inspire and equip you to move with God in acts of bold faith. Look away from competing voices in culture by reminding you of the brave women in Scripture. You can learn to break through barriers, dream big, and discover your kingdom identity and purpose. And just for being a Revealing Jesus listener, you get 40% off and free shipping with promo code REVEALINGJESUS at familyownbakerbookhouse.com. Pick up a copy of Finding Our Muchness today and discover how now is your time to rise up in faith and move forward with boldness. Link in show notes or visit bakerbookhouse.com.
I love that so much. I love that you talked about the formation, and I think about the potter and the wheel, and there's such power in surrender. You know, so many people say that they want more, but they don't always realize that the more comes in the surrender and it comes in the breaking. You know, I just prayed this for somebody last Sunday, but I said he wanted the compassion of Jesus. And I said, it's going to come in the breaking of your heart. You know that, right? Yeah. And it's so interesting because I think we have to be willing to lay down our ideas and to be conformed and to take up that cross. It's not always comfortable and it's not always convenient and those things. But you shared something in your book that I thought was awesome. And this must have been before I knew you. You said something like, I was a preacher with religion or something like that. And you had made this point about how, you know, a mama will spare no expense to go to war for her baby in the face of death. You said something so powerful. You said she'd storm the gates of hell and rip the face off of Satan just to take. You remember that part?
Yeah.
And you had equated that to when you first started preaching, you were watering down the fire.
Right.
But the truth is, just like we've said, there's people who need to be healed. There's people who are dead that need to be raised. You know, there's people who are demonized that need to be delivered, and it's not okay. And once we catch a glimpse of Jesus's heart that it's not okay, we become like that mama bear who's right. Willing to storm the gates of hell, rip the face off of Satan, and will stop watering down the message.
Yes.
So share a little bit about that, because I think that was really powerful.
Yes. I'll say it this way, and if you read my book, Permission to Burn, but it's the process of having to really battle that religious spirit. Honestly, like Permission to Burn is where it really, I came to the place of like, I will burn, you know, I will burn no matter what. And it was like learning how to do this standoff with the religious spirit that wants to put fire out in you. And so I found myself in a place like through that season where I did, I would throttle the message because I'm very discerning and I know who's in the room. And I would find myself, and I think a lot of leaders do this, throttling the message to try to kind of make it more palatable for those maybe who aren't, you know, maybe might walk out if I got bold truth with them. But when obviously, like, there's been a long process of coming out of that and fighting and being like, forget that. Anyway, I'm not going to water down the message. But what really shifted me in such a major way, specifically when it comes to being bold about healing, was when we almost lost my daughter. My daughter almost died, and she would have died had it not been for intercession, prayer, and the will of God for her to be delivered from really the clutches of Satan, because the hospital gave up hope. They told us that she wasn't going to live. And we watched God heal her completely of septic shock and multi-organ system failure. She had heart failure, kidney failure, liver failure. She was all but dead, and he broke in, and I share a lot of this story within the book, but he broke in and he raised her up from sure death. And after coming through that experience, you know, I was like, let me help everybody understand something. Healing's not optional. Go ask the mother who's weeping over her child. And like, she doesn't really need to be a believer or not. She just wants her child back. You know, I go ask the wife whose husband is caught up in sin and in an affair if whether or not she believes in deliverance. If you would pray for her family to be delivered and healed, she's going to receive that. Like, go ask the woman whose husband's dying. I mean, you've got to get yourself out of this religious mentality to be careful about what you say, because the religious theologians in the room may disagree with the way you present it and begin to push through like Jesus did. Push through those crowds and heal, you know, heal the sick and move on the hunger, like the woman that wanted to touch the hem of his garment. It's almost like I had to shift back and say, but I really don't care what anybody feels, thinks, or even says in this moment. The sick must be healed. The dead must be raised. The demonized must be delivered. The word of God says it. And as a mama who's cried out for her child and watched her child basically die and then God raise her up, there's no option. It's just not optional. You know, it's just not an option. Whenever you have experienced what we've experienced getting our child back from death. And there's no compromise there. It did something in our whole family. It changed our whole family. And we, you know, we endured some religious persecution when we began to be so bold about it. But it doesn't matter, because someone who's losing their child doesn't really care about your theology. They want their child back.
Amen. Amen. And I love the character in the heart of Jesus. He always prioritizes people. You know, the Pharisees had such issues with the way that Jesus healed, even on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And Jesus himself says to them, "You hypocrite, which one of you having a donkey or an ox unties it and takes it away and leads it to water on the Sabbath? Ought not this woman, you know, this daughter of Abraham who's been bound by Satan for 18 years, ought she be loosed on the Sabbath?" Jesus often prioritized people over the thoughts of religious leaders. And I so love that about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's who he is. And the Bible boldly declares that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
That he doesn't change. And I would say this to you, he's more interested in your healing than he is your theology.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth.
And you can look through the scriptures and you can watch Jesus move through the towns, and you can watch Jesus move amongst the Pharisees, and you watch him heal, and you watch him draw near to the outcast. You know, and I'm amazed at watching that. And then you also see him in his own hometown, and he's rebuking his hometown, not because he couldn't do miracles in his hometown. He said he wouldn't do miracles, as many miracles in his own hometown, because they didn't honor who he was as the Messiah. And it's crazy. There's a whole teaching I can go in on this, and it's not in the book. But it's crazy if you look at all that in context, how Jesus is actually acting in mercy whenever he speaks this to his hometown, because earlier he says that it will be the judgment for the cities that did not receive him, that did see the miracle, would be greater than the judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he's actually speaking to his hometown and saying, listen, I didn't do these miracles as often in my hometown as I did in other cities, because your judgment would have been greater because you've rejected me. And so it's even in his mercy that he's just like, I just didn't hear. Because if I did, the signs and wonders would point to, I am Messiah and you rejected me. And so it's like, he's so beautiful in the way he functions, and to watch him in his mercy, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and then at the same time have compassion on an entire city. Because he knows that on the day of judgment, they'll be held accountable for what he's done there.
Well, and I think, to be honest with you, you know, I'm a person who believes he always wants to move. He always wants to heal. He always wants to deliver. He always wants to do those things. I personally feel very strongly that his heart is grieved when he's not able to do those things.
Yes.
Because he's so full of goodness and mercy and compassion and the power to heal and deliver. And really what he's looking for is a way to move. And, you know, thanks be to God, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, he's made it righteous and acceptable to be good to us. And he's given us a righteous foundation for him to freely dispense his grace and mercy. But what he's looking for is someone to believe, someone to receive.
Right. 100%.
Yeah, so good. Well, this has been so good. Is there anything burning on your heart you'd like to say directly to our listeners today?
I mean, yeah, so one of the most important things I think you need to understand is, you know, whether you're diving into intercession or you're looking into the works of Christ as he walks in the earth, is to understand the invitation that you've been given, no matter where you are in your walk with him. Maybe some of the things that we've said today, maybe you've not experienced these things and you want to, or maybe this is new to you. I want you to know this one thing, that his longing is for you to come and draw near. His longing is for you to be able to receive the inheritance that you've been promised. And the inheritance is him. He is the inheritance, which comes with the fullness, that comes with the power of the Spirit, that comes with prayer, that there is no human words for, but there's a great heavenly language that he wants to unveil to you. That language is communication. It's what it is. He wants to communicate to you. He wants you to know his heart. He wants you to know his longing. He wants you to be able to walk in your sonship, your daughterhood, right? Which means you get to be the answer to creation that's subject to decay. You get to actually be the answer to bring life back into a decaying, you know, earth. And so I would say this, don't stop seeking after him, but ask, always ask. At the end of every chapter, I have encounters. It's because I want you to come into the asking place where you're asking him for more. Where, like, he took me into that place in the Garden of Gethsemane where he says, Tammy, do you want more? I knew it was going to cost me. You don't go into the place of a garden where he sweated blood and said, you know, not my will, but yours be done. And he asked you if you want more and not have a little bit of fear of the Lord on you. You know, it's going to cost you, but the cost is worth it. And that's what I want you to understand. Whatever it costs, even if it costs friendships, even if it costs, you know, if it costs being misunderstood, he is so worth it. You'll find your fullness and your identity in him, because you weren't created to just walk about this earth and check the boxes and do the thing. You were created to be in nonstop communion with him and to know what he's thinking, having the mind of Christ, to see what he's doing in the heavenly realm, praying for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You got to know what his will is. It's not just this random, well, Lord, let your will be done. No, he wants you to know his will. And he wants you to partner with him in prayer and intercession to take his will from the heavenly realms, the blueprint, and make it built, manifest in the earth. And so I want to encourage you in that. Just dive deep, ask the hard question, dig into the scriptures. And if you have not, ask. It says you have not because you've asked not. Ask and he'll give it to you. And I'm not talking about all the things. ask for more of him. He's more than willing to give himself to you.
Amen. Amen. Will you pray for our listeners today?
Yes. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for all those that have gathered here, that are here, this podcast, whenever, Lord, that you would encounter them, that you would right now, wherever they are, begin to just increase their tangible understanding of your presence. Lord, it says in your word that you've given us a spirit of revelation and the knowledge of you. But it also says that there's seven spirits, and one of those is the spirit of understanding. And Lord, I pray that many of us would come to that place of gaining revelation, wisdom, and understanding of you and your ways. Lord, that you would release right now, awaken that groan of the spirit, increase, Lord, those who already have tapped into intercession, God, that you would increase the travail, that you would increase the groan, but Lord, that you would show them that it's unto something. You're not alone in the groan. You're not alone in the burning. There's more for you in this. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would lift the frustration of that gap. And God, that you would show them the formation that's taking place within them as they run to you and not away from you in the places where they do not understand. And so, Lord, we just give you the glory for that. Increase spiritual knowledge, Lord, as they pray with you. And I even believe for some of you, God's going to give you new gifts, fresh gifts, even of interpretation. And you can ask for that, by the way, when you're praying and you're praying in tongues. Ask him for the interpretation. That's how you get revelation and strategy. He'll begin to show you what you're praying. He wants to do that for you. So I just want to encourage you, that word understanding just keeps coming up as I pray and as I'm speaking right now. So I really feel like somebody really needs to ask the Lord, give me understanding of the things of the Spirit. He wants you to ask. Ask him and he'll give it to you. And I just thank the Lord that you're going to increase in your intimacy and your knowledge of him, and the anointing and the power even to heal the sick is going to come upon you as you draw more near to his heart, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I am so excited for this time that we're living in, Tammy. I think that this is an amazing opportunity to harvest so many souls. And you and I are a part of it. And everyone here listening to Revealing Jesus is a part of it. I say it all the time. We need you. We need each and every single person walking in their identity in Christ and walking in what God has created them to do, because together we are going to see the Great Commission fulfilled before the return of Jesus. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, my fiery friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, I hope and I pray today's episode has blessed you. I will have links from today's podcast episode and resources in the show notes, where you can connect with us and our special guest, Tammy Sutherland. And be sure to pick up a copy of her new book, Wordless Prayer, How God Hears and Answers Your Groans and Tears. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.
Beloved, let me introduce you to my King. He is altogether lovely. No matter which way you turn him, he is perfection personified. He is velvet and steel. He is meekness and majesty. He is glory and humility. He is kindness and strength. He is altogether lovely, and he is my King, and he can be yours as well. All day long, he holds his hand that you might take, that you might turn one step, one grasp, one yes, one breath away from the arms of your loving Savior. Beloved, if you hear him calling today, do not harden your heart. The Bible declares that not one of us is guaranteed another moment upon this earth. So pray this prayer with me today and run into the arms of the one who loves you, who knows you best. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin, for all of the places that I have fallen short, God, of your glorious standard. I ask you now to send your Son into my heart, to be the forgiveness of my sin, to be my redemption, to be my righteousness, to be my holiness, to be my sanctification. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your spirit, your power, your glory, that I might bring glory to your name, Father. I thank you that I receive all of this by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. I thank you that I am now a child of God, fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy in your eyes. And I ask you to help me walk out this life in a way that pleases and honors you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your great joy in saving me. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray all of these things in your beautiful Son's name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to congratulate you. You are now a child of God, and all things are now yours. Keep listening to Revealing Jesus. Find a good Bible translation that makes sense to you. And keep hearing about our beautiful Savior Jesus. Please let us know. We want to continue to pray for you. And we want to send you a free PDF copy of our New Believer Workbook. Just go to christinapereira.org/welcome-home. Enter your email address and we will be happy to send this free gift. And continue to pray for your journey. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.